So this morning, I want to talk about what it is to launch out. I think sometimes we can get comfortable, can't we? As you know, I have, you wouldn't all know, but one of my passions as I was a little younger than I am now, and I still do like to do it, was water skiing. And my brother Andrew and I, we started water skiing when we were quite young, and we would just hang out for somebody who had a boat to take us. And we were sort of at the mercy of somebody reaching out to us and saying, "Hey, do you want to come water skiing?" So, and we realized that there was a bit of a problem there. We couldn't go when we wanted to, and so Andrew was always good with his money, and he was always a hard worker. So he bought this little boat. Suddenly he saw it in Ulverston, and there was a sale sign on it, and he bought this boat, and it was sort of within the price range that was achievable. But we got the boat home, I think we probably took it straight to the boat ramp. And I remember as soon as we got it there were lots of problems. and the first few times we'd get all G'd up to go skiing, we'd have the ropes, the skis, the gear, and we'd spend most of our time on the boat ramp. With fuel coming out of some place it wasn't meant to, and something else not working, and water coming in places it wasn't supposed to, and there was all sorts of things going on. Credit to Andrew, he turned that little boat around into an absolute beast. It used to go like a rocket, and it became very reliable. But you know, there was so disappointing when you'd have everybody G'd up, and because we all had all our mates around, "Oh yeah, we're going skiing," and he would be on the boat ramp, everybody's there, and we're stuck. The skiing's out there in the water. There wasn't a lot of fun to be had on the boat ramp. And sometimes, you know, I think our Christian life, we can spend so much of it almost on the boat ramp. We're great at doing services, aren't we? "Oh yeah, you know, let's and we often don't move past what's going on here to what our calling actually is. This is incredibly important. There is something amazing about the body coming together. And let's not forget that. The Bible says, "Do not neglect the meeting together." And it says in Hebrews, especially as his return gets closer, as the days get longer, people are going to say, "Hey," and I think when Paul wrote that, he was prophetically seeing the days of Facebook. He was prophetically seeing the days of Instagram. He was prophetically seeing the days of technology when it's like, "Hey, yeah, we don't need to catch up because we are so connected." And he was saying, you know, especially as times change, value coming together because it's so important. We've just had our ACC conference, and that is such a cool thing. You know, it's great when the family gets together. We're a great family here, but we're part of a great movement, which is a bigger family, and we're part of an even bigger family, which is the kingdom of God. But it was just so cool over the last few days, getting the family together. We had our national leader, Pastor Wayne, there. That was really cool. And really, our state conference is like a big family camp. It's just like getting the whole family together, and everybody comes in and just hangs out and enjoys catching up. And it was a great time. So I know some of you are part of that. I want to acknowledge Lizzie for... just give Lizzie a hand. I know we do this a bit, but let's not underestimate what she carries. See, Lizzie's year goes something like this. We get through all the Christmas stuff and sort of take a deep breath. And then, you know, for the last 10 years, as a church, we've carried church together. And church together has grown. Its impact has got more and more expensive to operate. And for the last 10 years, it's actually longer than that, we've done church together, and we've carried it as a church. And a lot of churches wouldn't even have a clue that Energizer underwrites it ultimately pays the bills, does everything to make it happen. But people across the city are so good, the way they lean in and are part of that. And it's been an amazing anointing we've had on our house to do that. Lizzie puts an incredible amount of effort into that, apart from everything else she does, church together, and then we get through that, and it's like, oh yeah, all the other stuff that didn't happen because of church together. And then probably for the last about 4 years, she's managed our state conference on behalf of me and the state exec. And so suddenly she's into that. And so as that's on top of all the other stuff that she carries, all the services here in the church. So she is an incredible gift to our house. You know what I say that for? Because Lizzie's, if you want to be on Lizzie's team, come and see her. She can use you. A big welcome to the Derwent Valley this morning. You guys are amazing. We're excited. I think this, what we're talking about this morning in launching out, is so important in the valley. You know, that we need to launch some great new initiatives into the valley. So I want to talk about that this morning. Pastor Rob, great to have you here from Bribie Island, as Dan said. Pastor Rob has been Joel's pastor in Bribie, and he's having a couple of days down here. He's been at our state conference, so welcome. He's an ACC pastor and been in Bribie Island, so welcome. Great to have you here this morning. Have you ever got to the end of something and felt like you've given everything? And someone says, hey, let's go again. Let's do this again. Yeah. We just got through church together and someone says, hey, state conference is coming. And maybe you've been in the gym and you've given everything. And your training partner is a masochist, as a good training partner is. And they say, hey, come on, let's one more rep. Let's give it another go. Or you've been out running and you think you're finished. You've set your mind on where the finish line was, where you're finished. And your training partner says, hey, let's do one more lap. Let's do another couple of Ks. Let's just do that bit extra. I used to do I still do Saturday morning rides, but there was a period of time where we would finish our Saturday morning rides, and more often than not, we would finish over here at Lindisfarne at a cafe over there. And I had a cycling friend that was part of the group that I rode with, and he was a bit of a machine. He was really obsessed, skinny as and fast, and we would get back and have our coffee, and he'd say, hey Dave, this is when I had a little bit more time on my hands on a Saturday morning. He'd say, Dave, why don't we just, we'd already probably ridden 120 Ks and ridden it pretty hard, and he would say, why don't we just go around and ride to the top of Bonnet Hill and back before we go home. He used to call it a sneaky bonnet. He'd say, let's go and do that before we finish. And, you know, my mindset was, I've given everything. We've gone really hard. I'm enjoying the coffee. And for some reason, pride or whatever it was, I would end up going again. And he didn't show any mercy on me whatsoever. I had to give everything just to hold his wheel, and we'd do that. But in that season, I was probably the fittest I've ever been, and I had the best cycling form that I'd ever had. And sometimes it was that sense of going again when you've spent everything takes you to another place. Now, before you think that I'm talking about going through lots of pain and suffering, just take a deep breath. That's not what I want to talk about this morning. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to set your mind to go again when you've been through a season where you feel like perhaps you've got to the finish line, or you just feel fatigued, or you feel like it's been a flipping hard couple of years. Who's been there? It's been a hard decade. Or it's been this, or it's been that. And I think, prophetically speaking, as I know the lives of so many of you, that people have been through incredible personal challenges. People have been through stuff. But you know what the cool thing is? You're here and you're worshiping Jesus, and you know that he has got more for you. You know that even emotionally you feel like you're fatigued. You feel like you've given everything. You might feel like, I don't know what's left. But you know that Jesus has got more for you. And you're still here. And you're still serving him. And this was really a critical moment in the calling and the transformation of Simon Peter from fisherman to fisher of men. It was the opportunity to go again. It was the opportunity to launch out into deep water. It was the opportunity to get the boat off the ramp and actually get it out doing what it was supposed to do. See, boats are great things, but they're useless on the land, aren't they? You take a boat off, they sit nicely like trailer boats. They sit okay on their trailer. But you take that boat off the trailer on the land and it is a really useless thing. I could keep telling stories about boats. I'll resist the temptation to do that. But after Peter and his partners, they'd fished all night. And they'd brought their boats back completely empty. And these guys weren't just amateur fishermen. They knew what they were doing. This was their livelihood. This was their income. They were good at what they did. And they'd been out on this lake all night. And they'd given everything and they got back. And I guess they just said, well, you get nights like that. Today's not a fishing day. It's not going to work. Might as well go and do something else. Repair the boats. Just put our effort into something that works. If you come with me to Luke chapter 5 verse 4, it says this. It says, when he, that means Jesus, had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And this wasn't about punishing Peter. This wasn't about pushing Peter to the limit or subject him to more suffering. Jesus wasn't like my friend who actually would enjoy seeing pain face on me as we were riding. Sometimes he would pull off and have a rest, so I had to do a turn on the front. And I think that was only so he could see the pain on my face as we passed each other. Jesus doesn't want that for you. Here's the thing about this miracle. Many of you will know it well. If you don't, doesn't matter. I'll explain it as we go. But Jesus wanted to do something good for Simon Peter. Jesus wanted to do something good for him. He actually wanted to bless him. And often we think, oh yeah, he was showing him about the catch and all that. Yes, he was perhaps, but his number one motivation was this guy had started a journey with him. This guy had been generous. This guy had allowed Jesus to speak from his boat. There was all this stuff that had gone on. And Jesus said, I want to do something good for you. I actually want to bless you. So Peter and his business partners end up incredibly blessed. And Jesus was showing Simon Peter that there was more. There was more available to him. He was being called to more. His experience and his mindset at that moment had the potential to negate him from receiving the blessing and ultimately the calling on his life. In that moment, his experience, his mindset, what he'd been through, how he was feeling, almost negated what was to come. And thankfully, he responded and he trusted Jesus as his master, his commander, and he was prepared to trust Jesus over his experience, his current mindset, and step into more. Let me read this from the Passion Translation, and I'll read a few more verses. And just remember, Jesus wanted to do something good for Simon Peter. It says, Jesus sat down, and he taught from the boat. When he had finished, he said to Peter, now, row out into the deep water and cast your nets and you'll have a great catch. Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. Zip, nothing. I've actually had some really great days tuna fishing off the Tasman Peninsula. Mostly it's been with my friend Ed, who many of you will know. Now the good thing about going fishing with Ed is you mostly catch fish. He's good. Anyway, we had a church tuna fishing trip some years back. And our good friend Peter Swift organized all of these professional boats, and we got groups of us and out we went. And the boat that I was on, we were out there for about 6 hours and we caught zip. Nothing. I remember one of our young international students who I think was a trainee doctor at the time. He was green. And he was trying to attract the fish to the boat. He was our little onboard burly. And the smell of diesel and the rocking and all that, and absolutely zip. I don't do too bad with the whole seasickness thing. But when I got back onto that shore, if somebody had said, hey, do you want to get on the boat, Dave, and go again? I would have run a mile. I said, I'm happy to walk back to Hobart. Actually, I know. I know that Jeff Towns once was out tuna fishing with our friend Ed. And he goes, seasickness hits him in such a way that he can't think straight anymore. And he actually wanted Ed to drop him off on a remote little rock known as the Hippolyte, inhabited by seals with sharks circling. And he said, no, I'm not going again. Just drop me off on the rock. I don't care. I will die on this rock. It's better than being in that boat. Sometimes that's how we can feel. Listen, Master, Peter replied, we've come back from fishing all night. We've caught nothing. But if you insist, we'll go again. Let down your nets because of your word. But if you insist, we'll go again and let down our nets because of your word. When they pulled up their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish. So much that their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling their boats with fish until their boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt down at Jesus' feet and begged him, "Go away from me, Master, for I am a sinful man." After pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything behind and they followed Jesus. Jesus wanted to do something good for Simon Peter. And it was that experience, that mindset, that negated him, or nearly negated him from receiving the blessing. I wonder how many times Jesus wants to do something good for us. And he says there is more, but our experience and our mindset negates us from receiving what he's got for us. Our experience says, hey, we've tried that before. We've done that. We've been there before. Church life, classic for that, isn't it? You get somebody else will come in with some enthusiasm. You know, we should. Or we could try. And those of you who are seasoned Christians go, yeah, tried that before. Waste of time. Doesn't work. Yeah, you'll just burn yourself out. Nah. Why don't you just sit back a bit, wait till God speaks. He'll tell you something good later. Peter's experiencing, we've been fishing all night, we've worked hard, go again. Seems pointless. We're tired. We know what's out there. We've been out there all night. We know there are no fish out there, and you want us to go again? We know. And I reckon Peter was thinking, I don't know, he didn't say it, it's not recorded. Jesus, I'm the fisherman, I know boats. You know timber. You do the timber work, I'll do the fishing. Today's not a fishing day. There is more. Maybe Simon would have been satisfied. Just think of another factor in this whole scenario here. Maybe he would have been satisfied, and most of us would have been, that this radical, incredible teacher that was gaining popularity and momentum and shaking things up chose to speak in his boat. I mean, that would have been enough notoriety for a couple of years. Hey, I'm the fisherman. Jesus spoke in my boat. I mean, you know, he could have started off Galilean boat trips. You can ride in the boat that Jesus spoke in. Made a lot more money than catching fish. Set up a little booth on the side. You know, you could have all the trinkets and the memorabilia and the t-shirts. This is the boat that Jesus spoke in. Perhaps you've been around some amazing people. Perhaps you've been close to some incredible kingdom things, some stuff. Perhaps you've had some glory days. There is more. Perhaps you've had a season where God has worked incredibly in your world and you've seen amazing things in the past. Maybe you've been in a particular church, or, you know, even in this church, we've seen God do some incredible things over the years. And it's like, oh yeah, that was the glory days. There is more. Maybe you've been serving faithfully. You've been working hard. There is more. Maybe you've been serving faithfully and you're coming into retirement. There is more. Maybe you've been flat out in your business and it just takes up all your headspace. I did that for 10 years. I had a business that was really full on busy. I also worked in the church. I just don't know how I did it all, but somehow we just sort of did. But you know, I didn't have 2 seconds to think about anything because there was just always something in front of me. And someone says there is more. I can't squeeze another thing into my life because it is so busy and so full and my head is so full. And every time I think I can think, the phone rings again. If that's you, Jesus says there is more. Where you are now is not the end. Where you are now is not the finish line. Where you are now is not where he's called you to stay. Here, I think, is the God word. And as I was putting this message together, I've spoken basically this at our conference, and some of you have heard it, I know, so thank you for coming along the journey this morning. But I really felt this strongly for people in our church as I was putting this together. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel the weight of expectation. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to do something good for you. You've been out fishing all night. You've been going through a hell of a season with the family. You've gone through an awful period in your work life. Relationships perhaps haven't worked. You've battled with addiction. Jesus wants to do something good for you. You're at the end of a season where you've put so much into the kingdom. You feel like, I can't go again. Forget about the pressure and the expectation of going again. Just open your heart to the fact that Jesus wants to do something good for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you mightily in his kingdom. And he wants you to experience more. And like Peter, we can say, yeah, I've toiled all night. There's nothing out there. I've been bringing out the kids. I've been serving on the teams. I've worked in kids' church. I've worked in youth ministry. There is more. All right, in the bit of time I've got left here and up at the valley, how do we position ourselves for more? How do we position ourselves when our life's like that? Our life can be so often like these fishermen. We sort of have this encounter and we get a taste of greatness. We get a taste of something that could happen. Maybe it's that sense where something is said, somebody gives you a prophetic word, there's an amazing service in church, or you get a glimpse of something that God might be doing, and almost it sort of stops there, and you think, oh, how do we position ourselves for more? How do we position ourselves for the fact that Jesus wants to do something good for you? Well, number one, I think we've got to trust Jesus over our experience and our current mindset. Over our experience and our current mindset. Trust Jesus over your experience. Now, experience can be a great thing. In your professional life, experience is what enables you to do most of what you do. Experience gives you an incredible capacity to see things that perhaps others can't see. Many of you are experts in your field, and that is because of the experience that you have in that field that makes you very valuable in that field. Experience is a great thing. But experience can also be a bit of a dog. Experience can be, I have walked through that, and that was so painful that I can't go back there. Lots of times I've ridden big bike events where you do push yourself to the absolute limits. And some of those ones have been like, you know, in excess of 200 k's riding and perhaps 5,000 meters of elevation. That's a big day on the bike. And you see people that really get emotionally and physically and right to the end of themselves in those rides. And I've got people that have ridden with me and we say, oh, we're going to go back and ride the Falls Creek ride. That's a classic one of those. And some will say, no, never going there again. Why would I go there? Why would I put myself through that? I don't need to. And that's fair enough. But often our experience says, I've been through that. Why would I want to put myself out there again? Why would I want to subject myself to those things one more time? Peter says, Master, we've toiled all right. And then listen, this is the clincher here. And I think we've got to hear this in the context of Jesus wants to do you good. The ancient Greek word in Luke, and it was only ever used in Luke, is a word called epistata. And it's actually unique to this gospel. And the word really embodies the idea of commander, leader, or perhaps boss. And with this, Peter showed that he was willing to take direction from Jesus. Peter was an expert when it came to fishing. Jesus was an expert when it came to miracles. And he was prepared to trust Jesus beyond his own experience, expertise, and current emotional state. I won't ask for hands, but how many people are bosses here? How many times have you been frustrated that people won't do what you ask them to do? You haven't had that, have you, Andrew? And people won't always go where we want them to go. It's even harder in a volunteer organization like a church. At least in the workplace, you can say, oh, well, if you don't do as you're told, we won't get your pay. Sort of. I think the difference between Peter and perhaps many of the people that are in workplaces and where we often find ourselves is somehow in that little bit of time that Peter had been around Jesus, as Peter spoke from his boat, as he experienced that sense where Jesus said, follow me. He started to understand the heart that Jesus wanted to do him good. See, the best bosses, the bosses that you can think of that you've had that you respect and you're prepared to follow and you're prepared to trust them even when what they're saying doesn't completely make sense, if you know that their heart is that they are for you and they want to do you good, your trust goes up a whole lot. So how can we position ourselves for more? Well, I think we've got to place his word over our experience, expertise, and emotions. We've got to place his word over our experience, over our expertise, and emotions. We've got to actually come back to the fact that in this day and age, you know, understanding that there is something that actually is the benchmark for truth. That the word of God actually is truth. And I know there's understanding the interpretation of scripture and that sort of thing, you know, takes a little bit of understanding. But if we get back to a point where we understand that the word of God is truth, and we're prepared to trust that word over our emotions, over even our own expertise, over our current state, it's amazing what happens. If we're prepared to trust the word of God about what he says about relationships over how we're feeling in any given moment, there'll be an amazing protection for us as we go forward into those things. If we're prepared to trust what he says about money over our emotions, even over our expertise and experience, we will experience a supernatural blessing because we trust his word. If we're prepared to go and launch on his word, we will find ourselves walking in the places that we were called to walk. And every single time you're asked to do that, you will have to step past your previous experience and your current emotional state, and so often your expertise, to step into more and a calling that he has on your life. At your word, Peter said, we will let down our nets. This was Peter's great statement of faith, that he trusted Jesus' word. Kingdom people throughout history have gone out with confidence on the word of Jesus. And why wouldn't you, if you're prepared to believe it? At his word, there was light. At his word, the sun, moon, stars, and planets were created. At his word, life came to the earth. At his word, creation is held in place. At his word, empires have risen and fallen. If you want to experience or position yourself for more in Jesus, and know that he wants to give you more, well, let's place his word. And I'm talking about the starting point is the Bible. It's the written word. And then when the actual, you know, the spoken word, what we're hearing from him actually lines up with that, that is a powerful thing. And when we put that over top of our emotional state, over our current situation, over the point that we feel like, ah, oh, this is unfair. This is not right. I didn't sign up for this. Who's been there? Some of you will remember, because there are some amazing people here. When Alex and I sort of found ourselves in the senior position in this church before we sort of expected to be or wanted to be, really, we had a bit of a honeymoon period, and then it was like somebody lobbed a hand grenade right into this place. We were in Africa, and we're supposed to be away just under 4 weeks, and a plane broke down out in the back blocks of Ethiopia. And that meant we just kept missing flights. And so we were actually away for another week. And while we were away, we just started getting emails. This person was leaving. They were our friends. We just stepped into this. We were going to go on the ministry journey together. Ooh. And another. And another. And then that elder. And then that person. And then that person who had so much potential. And I used to go up on to the domain. And I'd get out up there and I'd start praying. My prayers used to mostly go something like, Jesus, this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. This wasn't part of the deal. In fact, I was quite happy being an auto electrician. Why would you ask me to leave my auto electrical business, which was doing well, and get into this, and then all this goes on? This isn't fair. A month or so before that, I'd sat with a friend of mine from Sydney, and he'd said, Dave, what do you think? What do you think God's going to do in you this year? And I think I answered honestly. We're tempted to make up all sorts of nice sounding things in those moments, but I said, look, if the church is going to go to where I feel we're called to, I've got to grow. My capacity's got to increase. I've got to get bigger. And every time I was up on the domain and I was crying out to God, when I shut up long enough to listen, I just always felt like he'd say, it's okay, Dave. It mightn't be fair, but you said you wanted to grow. Are you prepared to commit to the journey? Are you prepared to trust me in the hard bits, in the pain, so that we can launch you into what you're called to do? And right now, I think that there are people here and you're right in that place. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will help you through this season. I will enlarge your capacity. I will grow you, and I want to do you good. How can we position ourselves for more? Well, I think the last thing I really want to bring out of this is a whole lot more in this section, but after Peter realized perhaps who Jesus was and the greatness of everything, and it says here that they were awestruck over the miracle of the catch of fish, and Peter says, hey, get away from me, Jesus, this is too much. And Jesus answered, he says, do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men for salvation. It says, when Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt at Jesus' feet and begged him to go away. Master, I am a sinful man. Number three, don't be afraid. I'd like to be able to word that fancier, more palatable, positive sort of ways. But there's a sense of fear where we've actually got to say, you know, I trust you, Jesus, and I will feel the fear, but I choose not to be afraid. Some of the most exhilarating experiences I've had is when you push through fear. Still remember bungee jumping in New Zealand off this massive bridge over a big canyon. And I remember walking out there. Actually, the thing that sticks in my mind is my youngest brother did it. And he walked out. I don't know how he did it, but he sort of walked out like this, backwards. And he was, I was scared, and I was a little bit more perhaps of a daredevil and pushed into those things, but he was absolutely struck with fear. But he said, yeah, I'm still going to do it. And it was amazing. When we'd finished, the three of us that did it in a group of about 10 people, and we drove everybody else mad because we were just so full of adrenaline. kept us going for 2 days. But you had to overcome the fear. Jesus says, don't be afraid. He didn't say don't feel afraid, because you're going to feel afraid. He just says, don't let that be the thing that defines you. It's not a problem if you're feeling fear. That's okay. We feel fear all the time. As we've gone through this building program, as we've put our neck on the line, as we signed up for an amazing price on this building, for me as the senior leader, knowing the journey that other churches have been on around Hobart, knowing all sorts of things, but feeling this is right, did I feel the fear? Absolutely. Did I feel the fear, and did our building team and our board feel the imminence of the fact that we're going forward, and there didn't seem to be a building in sight? There was nothing that came close. And the clock's going tick, 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 tick. And initially the settlement for this building was October. I was living in October when there was nothing there, but did I feel the fear? Did I feel the weight of that? Absolutely. But I had chosen to trust what I felt God had said and what others had agreed with over the fear that I felt in that thing. And all of you have got testimonies of that journey and those things. It's not a problem to feel the fear. Let's just not let the fear define us. After pulling their boats up to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. It was in that miracle, it was in that fact that they were prepared to go again, that they were prepared to launch into something new that propelled those guys from professional fishermen to absolute world changers. It was the fact that they trusted, the fact that Jesus wanted to do them something good when they were spent, when they were worn out, when they were going to be the laughing stock of all the other fishermen around Galilee. You see, fishermen are shockers. They sit on the shore and they say, hey, what's he doing out there? As if you're going to catch anything at the moment. Look at that boat. That's not the right gear. You think you're going to catch something with that rod? You know, that fishermen, they're experts like that. And they pass judgment on everybody else. And I know none of you have done that. But they went past the fear, they went past their emotional state, they went past their physical fatigue, and they launched, and Jesus propelled them into something that absolutely was beyond anything that they could have imagined, expected, or even dreamed up in their wildest dreams. As a church, we're in this position to launch. We've worked hard. It's been hard work getting to this point. But wow, we get the opportunity to launch, have an impact in new communities, new areas, new people groups, opportunity for so many more people to be part of what God's doing in that, opportunity for people to be around a community center where it's filled with the Spirit of God, where there's a welcoming atmosphere, where people want to be there in that. An opportunity for our mindset to change, for our eyes to lift, to be able to see some of the need and some of the brokenness, and the fact that our community and our city needs Jesus like never before. The fact that we can actually be located geographically, right, you know, to a very central part, to Greater Hobart. We are absolutely ready to launch. For many of us, it will be overcoming a fear. For many of us, it will be overcoming some fatigue. For many of us, it will be overcoming some experience. Hey, yeah, at Energizer, we've been on a bit of a journey. We have our ups and downs, but we haven't really got to that point of absolute breakthrough into the really next place. Well, I believe it's coming. And I believe it is actually us doing it together. Us saying, you know what, we are going to launch. We're not going to spend another year, another month, another 5 minutes on the boat ramp. We're actually going to get ourselves into deep water. And why can we do that? Because we know that Jesus wants to do us good. Jesus wants to do this city good. Jesus wants to do your neighbor good. Jesus wants to do so many people that are broken in this city good. And there is only one way that he can ultimately do them good. That is by reaching them through relationship and bringing them into his kingdom and restoring them to who they were created to be, so that the brokenness and the despair falls off their life and their eyes are open and they see who they were created to be. Come on, we are in a season of amazing opportunity, both here in Hobart, and there's so much opportunity in the Derwent Valley. We need to launch into that valley like never before. Guys at the valley, why don't you just, even as we're here now, why don't you just stand in the valley? And why don't you face those windows up there in that auditorium and start to ask that God would launch you into new things in that town, in that city, in that community, in that region. Why don't we stand where we are right now? We're playing a long game. I grew up being told to live every day as if Jesus was coming back, and I get what that means. But sometimes it stops us living and planning so that we can actually see a generation go further than where we are. We're playing a long game. Peter has this amazing miracle and this amazing moment, and it was 3 years between fishing trips. Next fishing trip that's recorded is basically after Jesus had been crucified on the cross. The next fishing trip was post the resurrection. The next fishing trip was a new covenant fishing trip. The next fishing trip was all about freedom and promise and the future. That's where we are. But we're playing a long game. Some of these things won't happen in 5 minutes. Some of them won't happen in 5 days. Or some of them won't even happen in 5 years. But let's be ready to play the long game. Maybe right now, your experience, as good as it is looming big in your thinking. Experience of people not coming through, stuff not quite working, people letting you down. Maybe that's your experience. Just let it go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, our experience that would inhibit us from being ready to go again, being ready to launch into new, we actually bring that to you. Some sometimes we can put ourselves under, we feel like we're putting ourselves under His authority, but are we putting our experience and our emotions and our thinking under His authority? Come on, let's do it. That's why the Bible says, you know, take every thought captive and bring it under the authority of Christ. Some of you might be feeling some fear, even with this move. We've talked about it a lot, and people are so on board, and people are pushing through, you know, some of the inconvenience of different geographies and all those things, and there's still that there. But it's not a problem to feel that, but let's just decide we're not going to be defined by those feelings in Jesus' name. Reach your hands out to this region. Let's commit to going again. Let's commit to launching into what's in front of us. Let's ask that our hearts would actually be moved and broken, and the passion that we feel for the kingdom of God and the lost and people that need Him would actually be stronger than our pain and our emotion and our experience. Why can we do that? Because His burden is easy, and His yoke is easy, and His burden is light, and He wants to do you good. Right now, I'm just going to actually pray that you would actually receive His Spirit. There is breakthrough. There are things that are coming for people, and some of you can see it, some of you can feel it, some of you feel like it's far off. But I believe right now the Holy Spirit just wants to fall on people here right now. For somebody here, it's healing. It's healing right now from an incredibly difficult emotional journey. And the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to change externally, but something is actually going to change in you. There is going to be a healing balm that would flow over you in this place right now. For somebody else who feels tired and fatigued and wonders how they could go again, it's like the oil of the Holy Spirit is just going to come on you, and there is going to be a tiredness that is going to wash off your life right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else is just feeling disappointed in themselves. Feel like they had opportunities to go. Jesus says, hey, I don't count those things against you. I just want to do you good. You need to receive that in Jesus' name.